A reading from the first letter of St. John. Beloved, who is the liar? Whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ, whoever denies the Father and the Son, this is the Antichrist. Anyone who denies the Son does not have the Father, but whoever confesses the Son has the Father as well. Let what you heard from the beginning remain in you. If what you heard from the beginning remains in you, then you will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made us, eternal life. I write you these things about those who would deceive you. As for you, the anointing that you received from him remains in you, so that you do not need anyone to teach you. But his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and not false. Just as it taught you, remain in him. And now, children, remain in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be put to shame by him at his coming. The word of the Lord. All the ends of the earth have seen the saving power of God. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wondrous deeds. His right hand has won victory for him, his holy arm.
All the ends of the earth have seen the saving power of God.
The Lord has made his salvation known. In the sight of the nations, he has revealed his justice. He has remembered his kindness and his faithfulness towards the house of Israel.
All the ends of the earth have seen the saving power of God.
All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation by our God. Sing joyfully to the Lord, all you lands. Break into song. Sing praise.
All the ends of the earth have seen the saving power of God.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem. This is the testimony of John. When the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to him to ask him, "Who are you?" he admitted and did not deny it, but admitted, "I am not the Christ." So they asked him, "What are you then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you, so we can give an answer to those who sent us? What do you have to say for yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as Isaiah the prophet said. some Pharisees were also sent. They asked him, "Why then do you baptize, if you are not the Christ, or Elijah, or the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but there is one among you whom you do not recognize, the one who is coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie." This happened in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Verbum Domini.
The words of the gospel may your sins be blessed.
One of the things that came to mind in my own curiosity was the history of the Franciscan sisters who taught me from first grade to eighth grade. So I did a little bit of research, and I found out that they were founded in Germany in the 1800s. And their foundress, Mother Xavier Vermeer, that she was taken by the orphans, by the homeless children, and she wanted to do something to create a home for them. And so she began to help them, and other young women wanted to help as well. And what was the name that they chose for their community was the Franciscan Sisters of the Holy Family. The Holy Family. So they wanted to create a family for those that didn't have a family. And eventually, in the 1800s, with Otto von Bismarck's Kulturkampf, wanting to root out Catholicism from Germany, he told them they either had to disband or leave the country. And so the 29 women who were part of this, they didn't want to leave their consecrated life. And fortunately for me and for the Iowans, they knew an Iowa priest who welcomed them to come there with the bishop's permission as well. So they moved to Iowa City, Iowa, and they founded the first orphanage in Iowa. But then as the Catholicism grew in Iowa, there was a need for teachers. And so I was blessed that I was instructed by these sisters who very much still had this spirit of their foundress and the founding sisters of wanting to create a home and a family. So we all have this desire to be loved, to be cared for, to have the warmth of a family and the warmth of friendship. The warmth of friendship. And the church holds up before us today an example of friendship in Basil and Gregory. So these two saints are celebrated today. They were born in the same area. And as we heard in our office of readings today, they were separated for a time, but then they came together, both students in Athens, in Greece. And it was there that their friendship really developed and it really grew. Now, one of the philosophers they definitely would have studied there would have been Aristotle, the Greek philosopher who lived 400 years before Christ. And here's what the Greek philosopher Aristotle said. But when one of the parties, talking about, he wrote a lot about friendship, Aristotle did. But he's saying when one of the parties in this friendship, possible friendship, is very far separated, as a god is from human beings, friendship cannot exist. So a god, as he understood it, a god, is too far above. There's nothing really in common that they have with us human beings, and so a friendship with a God is not possible. And he's right. Unless God bridged that gap, unless God himself joined himself to us so that now we do have something in common, a humanity, that he's one with us in all things but sin. And he would be one who would say, I no longer call you slaves, but friends. So God has made this friendship with himself possible. And not only friendship with him, but friendship with others, that he makes us capable of friendship. You know, the saints are those who are capable of friendship. And why are they capable of friendship? Because of the love of God has been poured into our hearts, St. Paul would write. But also they're capable of forgiveness, of understanding. Now, Father Mark and I were talking the other day about this, and he was saying he had heard this talk about forgiveness, and if we're not willing to forgive, we become more and more isolated. Why? Because we all need forgiveness. If we're going to have friendship, if we're going to have happy marriages, religious life, family life, we got to be capable of forgiveness, of forgiving the other, of understanding their own brokenness, their own need for healing, and being patient. As we heard on the Feast of the Holy Family, of how St. Paul in Colossians chapter 3, which I call as a perfect formula for happy family life, forgiving one another, bearing with one another, as the Lord has forgiven you. So the saints are capable of friendship because they have the love of God alive in their hearts, and they're able to understand and forgive. You know, we can create today a virtual world where everybody thinks as I do. And if you don't, then I'm going to unfriend you. Okay, unfriend you. Well, a virtual friendship really isn't a friendship. How many of your friends on Facebook are going to come to your funeral? You know, it's not tallying up that number to get it higher and higher. Those aren't true friends. Friends surprise us, and friends challenge us. And Basil and Gregory challenged each other. They were quite different temperaments. And they show us that you don't have to just be totally, you know, the same to have a friendship. Now, one thing we do have to have the same is that we want to have friends who will help us to grow in holiness. So we had in our office of readings today, St. Gregory say this, of the friendship that he had with Basil. Our one single object and ambition was virtue, and a life of hope in the blessings that are to come. What did we hear in today's first reading from 1 John? This is the promise he made us, eternal life. This is the promise the Lord has made us, eternal life. And Basil or Gregory is writing here that this was our object, a life of hope and the blessings that are to come. And he continued, we followed the guidance of God's law. And what did our Lord say? You are my friends if you do what I command you. So that's one element of friendship with the Lord, is that we want to live in his grace. We want to be faithful to his teachings, his way of life. And you know that he treasured friendship too? In Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he loved to stop at their home in Bethany. And the Gospel of John even tells us he loved them. And when he learned that his friend Lazarus was sick, what did he say? Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going to go and wake him up. And he wept because he was moved by the sorrow of his friends Martha and Mary at the death of their brother Lazarus. Jesus wept. See how much he loved him, is what the people who were nearby said. So he shows us that he treasured friendship too. So, again, from St. Gregory at his friendship with Basil, he said, "We followed the guidance of God's law and spurred each other on to virtue. And if it's not too boastful to say, we found in each other a standard and rule for discerning right from wrong." You see that that's what we are to do, to be an example to each other, to spur each other on, challenge each other sometimes too, to greater virtue. And then he concluded in today's reading, "Different men have different names which they owe to their parents or to themselves, that is, to their own pursuits and achievements. But our great pursuit, the name we wanted, was to be Christians, to be called Christians." You see, a friendship with the Lord enhances all of our other friendships. He makes us capable of them, of deep, lasting friendships that don't end with death, that go on into eternal life and that perfect communion of the saints. You know, it's said today that a lot of people think that, well, friendship, it's just too much trouble. It's too inconvenient. It's going to inconvenience me. But if we want friends, then we have to make some efforts at it. And we have to, if we want friends, to be a friend to others. So here are a couple of thoughts on friendship and the value of friendship. Friendship requires effort. The secret of friendship is a secret of all spiritual blessing. The way to get is to give. Some friendships die of neglect. We put nothing into them, nor do nothing to maintain them. You know, Erasmus, the great friend of St. Thomas More, he said he seemed to be a man made for friendship. And they did so much to maintain his friendship, even with those that he didn't particularly agree with on all things. What are the fruits of having a friendship? It satisfies our hearts. We cannot live a self-centered life without feeling we're missing the true glory of life. Aristotle said, "No one would care to live without friends, even if he had all other good things." And one suggested that it's a sin against ourselves to not have friendships, to let our affections wither. Secondly, friendship assists your judgment. It satisfies our minds. We rarely feel confident until we have the agreement of others that we trust, who have our good in mind. And that's really what true friendship is, that you want the good of the other. And that one wants your good. You can trust each other. You can reveal things to each other. And you can feel that you'll be understood. And if you do something that offends, that you can be forgiven. We rarely feel confident until we have the agreement of others we trust. It satisfies the mind. Talking things over with a friend gives fresh lights and insights, new avenues the other may think of, and just having a sympathetic listener helps in itself. Thirdly, friendship helps you in life's difficulties. It gives a strength to your character. You know, if you've got a foundation, you know, if you've got your family or your friends, that you have someone you can lean on, that you know that you can, if you fall, that will help you to get back up. The fight is not so hard when we know that we're not alone. So this is what the church holds up in Basil and Gregory today is friendship, cultivating them, taking the effort, the time. I don't want friendship that's too much drama. No, we want that drama because we need that surprising element of our friends who can challenge us at times. And then the last point that I make is that, of course, all friendships are somewhat tenuous, but there's one friendship that is not tenuous, and that is a friendship with Jesus. Aristotle said that when one of the parties is very separated, as a god is from human beings, friendship cannot exist. Well, he's made it possible for that to exist in becoming man, dwelling among us, in calling us no longer slaves, but friends. And friends reveal things to one another. He says, so I reveal to you everything of my Heavenly Father. This is our true friend that we can never be separated from. The person who lives with Jesus knows him to be a lover who cleaves closer than a brother, a friend who loves at all times and is there in adversity. And I would just say from my own experience that if you feel lonely at times or if you feel like your friends don't understand, go to the nearest tabernacle, the nearest place where there's adoration, and just sit there. And you will experience the friendship of our Lord. You'll feel lifted up, supported, strengthened, embraced, because he really is there. He is our true friend. To be called friends by our Master, to know him as a lover of our souls, to give him entrance to our hearts, is to learn the meaning of living and to experience the ecstasy of living. This higher friendship is bestowed without price. God has come to join himself to us. It is only heaven that is given away. It is only God that may be had for the asking.